News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Keeping Ireland connected with no limits data on AIR Mobile.
There have been reports of several cases of COVID-19 within multiple direct provision centres nationwide. That's according to the Sunday Times yesterday. How are those living in direct provision feeling at the moment? Well, here to tell us is Bulani Mufakto, a spokesperson for the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland. Bulani, just tell us, where are you and how difficult is it for you guys at the moment living with these restrictions applied?
Good morning, Shane. It's very difficult. It was already difficult in direct provision long before the COVID-19 pandemic, because many people in direct provision centres wouldn't have agency over their bodies and such decisions as when to eat and where to eat were made by management, and what to eat were also made by management. So you can imagine the difficult circumstances now, mm-hmm. when you are told to stay away from people, and yet you still have to share intimate living spaces such as bedrooms.
Is it possible? Is it possible? Sorry to cut across you, Bulani. You mentioned social distancing there. Is it possible to social distance when so many of you are living in relatively crowded accommodation?
If you think about Mosny, you might have some possibilities. So Mosny, you would remember, would have their own living quarters, and that's where you can keep a distance from, you can reasonably keep a distance from other people until you need to use the laundry room or until you need to get food from the food hall, for instance. And that becomes very challenging then because you still have to go and interact with other people. But if you live in most direct provision centres where there is a congregated settings, it's incredibly difficult. You just cannot. Like, I have a roommate and we both use communal toilets and we have to use a communal small kitchenette. And so there are 19 men in the ground floor in our block who use the same small kitchenette and the same microwave from that kitchenette. So it becomes impossible to keep the social distancing guidelines that the government is advising us for majority of asylum seekers in direct provision centres.
What would you like to see happening? What can happen, do you think?
We put it to the Department of Justice that they should actually find more accommodation so that they can move people out of direct provision centres to ensure that each person that is living in a direct provision centre can observe social distancing. That means that you'd have to give people their own single rooms if they are single people, and you'd have to give families their own self-contained units so that you limit the interaction between one asylum seeker to the other, and particularly people who aren't in the same household as the government advice. And now it's very impossible for those families and for single people to observe those guidelines, because you remember, people in direct provision have their own lives. We have asylum seekers in direct provision who work in healthcare.
Really?
We have asylum seekers working in nursing homes. One just went to work now. She lives in Portlaoise, in a direct provision centre there, and works in the nursing home in Newbury.
We won't mention the nursing home, but that seems to be a recipe for a serious problem. If you've got somebody living in a crowded accommodation and then they are going to work in a nursing home, that would seem to be an obvious problem.
With a very devastating consequences, because we've already had cases of COVID-19 in direct provision centres, and in those very same direct provision centres, there are people who go to work and work in healthcare or in nursing homes. So it's very difficult situation for both those people. Because on the one hand, as an asylum seeker working in healthcare, you want to be able to help on the front end, and the other, then you also put your other people that you share intimate living spaces within a direct at risk, and as well as the people that you would be helping in the nursing homes, you put in the very, you know, in a very different vulnerable positions. You would remember in nursing homes that most people would be there with underlying health issues and people who are quite elderly. So it's very risky for them, and it's very risky for the asylum seekers. And the Department of Justice has committed to finding additional beds for asylum seekers. I think there are about 650 beds they reported. But the problem is that, again, those beds are still shared in those new hotels that they've found. So
okay,
you are reproducing the same conditions that people were being
yeah.
taken away from in direct provision centres.
Bulani, thank you so much for talking to us, and look, we wish you well. I know it's a very it's a difficult time for everyone, but it's particularly difficult, I think we can all agree, for people who are in accommodation, direct provision centres, very difficult. Thank you indeed for talking to us, Bulani Mufacto there. We did get a statement from the Department of Justice. They stressed that intensive work is underway to the best of their ability to provide alternative accommodation where necessary. Centres were required, they say, to generate on-site self-isolation capacity, and as a further protection for residents, all centres have been temporarily closed to visitors. The centre managers are working closely with the department. Last week, the department announced 650 new temporary hotel beds have been procured following negotiations within a very short space of time. It's a very long statement, just another extract from it. We are engaging with employers of residents working in the care industry regarding alternative accommodation as and when an individual needs are brought to our attention. Kieran, the one thing that really jumped out from that interview with Bulani to me is the idea of somebody going from a direct provision centre, which obviously has a lot of people living in it, to work in a nursing home. That is an obvious problem.